Welcome back to Podcast 9. We are so happy that you are with us again this week. So if you were able to catch us last week for Episode 8, then you heard the news about the next phase for Healthy Kids Inc. and our decision-making process for introducing gardening to the meal planner. We are beyond excited for this next phase for a lot of reasons. So in today's podcast, I wanted to introduce you to some thoughts on gardening because I know what you're thinking. Oh geez, here's another thing that I now have to add to my day. But that's not the way that we designed it. We said gardening could only be integrated into the meal planner if it was fail-proof. And so we created that technology that made it just that made it fail-proof. So here are our top five reasons why gardening is the next step. And the first one has to do with the whole thought about gardening and the loyalty and the traditions that we feel every time we talk about gardening. And it's so funny because every time I mention gardening to anyone who is between the age of 25 and 80, well, they have a gardening story. And it's so funny because even just this past week, I was talking with one of our members and we were talking about gardening. And here she brings up, you know, her story about gardening when she was little and her time in the garden with her grandpa growing up. Those stories happen all the time. Everybody has a garden story of some sort or another. And it's really interesting. And I've mentioned this before, but, you know, Kirk and I live in West Virginia. It's the second unhealthiest state in the nation. And some years it's the first. It's the most unhealthiest state in the nation. We kind of flip-flop back and forth between first and second place. And we have a lot of views, a lot of fatalistic views in our state. And we happen to really hold tight to traditions. So we hear often that, oh, my grandfather has diabetes, so I have diabetes, and my kids are just going to have diabetes. Or, you know, we've always had weight issues in our family, so my kids are just going to have weight issues. And we seem to think that this is our fate. So as a result of it, we just can't really get our minds around healthy eating. They just really haven't seen it. It's been very difficult to get the masses involved. But gardening is totally different. The minute that you mention gardening, it brings to mind traditions and generations and grandparents, and we feel so proud that we are holding a tradition that we saw our grandparents doing. And because of that, gardening has been so widely adopted in our state. It's skyrocketing. It's in the schools, it's in preschools, community gardens are popping up everywhere. So it's interesting because we as a state, we have totally latched onto gardening. So I see that at the large statewide level, but every time I talk to a family, I get that same feeling. There's something about gardening that makes us so proud. So that's the feeling that we're going for in introducing gardening into the meal planner, is to create that feeling of traditions, that feeling of pride and loyalty. So the second reason that gardening is really important to us is because it's a great way to save money on your budget. And I did a video about this about a year ago, and the goal of the video was showing families how they could eat organic on a budget of $75 for the week. And I have to admit, it was a really tricky week of meal planning, and it took some major thought and strategy. But one thing became glaringly obvious to me afterward, and that was that I could have saved 25% more had I just grown my own vegetables. And that's nearly $20 of my shopping bill. That's a lot of money. $20 on a budget of $75, that's 2 days of more meals. Or it might give me the ability to buy something slightly higher in quality, maybe a higher quality meat or some different oils. So $20 is a really big amount. And that's what I learned as a result of that process. Wow, look at the money that we could be saving. So there's a lot of information about this. And in fact, you know, it says on average that if you have this is a full-size garden. So let's just say you have a garden that's about the size of maybe a 2-stall garage, which is a really big size garden. But on average, it would take about a $70 investment to get that garden up and running. But it could produce $600 worth of produce, fresh produce, during the growing season. So that's a huge return on your investment, and that's the great thing that gardening does. But it doesn't even have to be a huge garden like that. It can be small containers on your back deck. Gardening can be done really in any type of a plastic safe container, even a milk jug. And that's part of the beauty of what we're introducing, is we'll actually walk you through everything that you can plant in. But so here's an example of the beauty of this. So if you spend a dollar on green bean seeds, $1 of seeds can generate $75 worth of green beans. Or if you were to do tomatoes, you know, tomatoes cost about $1.75-ish or so a pound, but they would only be about 25 cents if you were to grow them. And bell peppers, which makes me mad every time I talk about it, because when I was doing the video on the organic eating for $75, one of the things that made me really mad was bell peppers. And the reason it makes me mad is because bell peppers are on the Dirty Dozen list. So it's best if you purchase them organic or local, or grow them if you can. But when you're purchasing them organic, they are really expensive. Like it was like $2.50 for one small bell pepper at Walmart. And generally they're about $2 at Kroger's. And then if you try to buy the red or the yellow ones, they're even more expensive. But if you were to grow your own bell peppers, then they're as little as 10 cents per pepper, which is amazing. So you better believe we are growing lots of bell peppers. We did a lot last year and we're gonna do a lot more even this year. And then even the expense of buying fresh herbs, you know, buying your dried herbs, you know, your parsley flakes, or even those bottled, you know, McCormick salad seasoning, all that's really expensive. Or if you even go to buy a bunch of fresh parsley, that's expensive too. It's a couple of dollars. But herbs are so simple. They can be grown indoors, outdoors, in a container. They're just so easy. And one of the great things about that is using fresh herbs, man, it just really makes your food just come to life. So that's another great way you can save some money, but also really improve the taste of the foods. And so some of the most expensive vegetables that we buy are actually some of the easiest to grow. Things like kale and beets and asparagus, broccoli, tomatoes, strawberries, those are all really easy to grow. So saving money on the budget is really important, and it's not only important to families, but we're also seeing this trend start to roll over into childcare centers, also into schools, and it's a little bit trickier. I mean, schools, a lot of elementary schools are now doing gardening. They're using it then as a way to add some fresh produce to the salad bar. It's a little bit of a trickier process. It's not as easy as we would think, but that's what they're doing. And in fact, Kirk and I just worked with the Department of Ag very recently on a project where they are working to grow food for their corrections facilities. And it was really awesome. They said, okay, here are the locations that we want to grow in. This is how much we need to grow a year. We need to grow, you know, 60,000 pounds of lettuce and 100,000 pounds of potatoes. And they said, okay, tell us the growing plan. How do we do it? How many seeds do we need to plant? What time of the year do we need to plant them? So those are the things that we're starting to see at all levels now, that there is an interest in growing. But it even goes beyond just saving money. It also helps with waste, because we as Americans generally throw out about 14% of our food, which is at almost $600 a year we waste on food that we throw out. And let's face it, most of the food that we throw out is going to be your fresh fruits and vegetables, because we just don't get to consume them in time. So gardening is one of those great reasons why then you only really pick what you need. So you go out, you just pick what you need from the vine, the rest can stay out there in many cases. So that's a great way to reduce your waste. So the number three reason that we really believe gardening is important is because it's going to generate a higher quality fruit or vegetable. So right now, about a third of families in the United States are now gardening. And in a study, families were asked, well, why are you doing it? Well, 58% said they are doing it to have better tasting food, just as I was talking about those herbs and, you know, what a difference it makes when you're eating fresh. But 51% said they're doing it for higher quality food. So here's what that means. So about a year ago, I did a test and I took all of the produce that I had bought for the week. And you know how all your produce has those little stickers on it and it tells you where your produce came from. So I got home, I pulled all my produce together and I started to jot it down. And I mapped it out to see exactly where my produce was coming from. Well, I noticed that green pepper that I keep talking about, it had come from Canada. Well, that's about 900 miles away from me. And then I start to look. Squash came from Pennsylvania. Lettuce from California. The avocado came from Peru. Red tomatoes were from Mexico. Yellow tomatoes were from Canada. Onions were from Mexico, cucumbers were from Georgia, spaghetti squash from Mexico, and broccoli from California. Not a single item was fewer than 300 miles away, and the average trek was nearly 2,000 miles to my home. So when I tallied up the total miles it took for just my 1 week of produce to travel from the farm to my table, it was 23,000 miles. And that's nearly one trip around the circumference of the earth. 23,000 miles for 1 week of produce. And the studies show that the longer a fruit or vegetable sits after being picked, the more nutrients that it loses. So you can imagine the travel time and just getting to my table. And in some cases, in some actual fruit and vegetables, it lost 55% of its vitamin C content. That's a pretty big deal. But what if you just had to walk 25 steps to get to your vegetables and you're picking them at their highest peak of nutrients and freshness? And that's what it's all about. You know, it's actually been said and proven that the average apple in a grocery store was picked nearly a year ago. And then oranges are another example. I think we've talked about this in one of our webinars, but you know, oranges are picked, obviously harvested at their prime time. And then all that juice is put into large tanks to preserve it. Well, to preserve it, they have to pull the oxygen out of it. So then when it's time to bottle it back up, then they have to pump the artificial colors and flavors back into it just to make it look like orange juice again, because it loses all of its color while it's in those large tanks. So you can see what our produce goes through in that process of getting from the farm to the store. What a difference it would be if we just had to walk on our back deck to be able to access this fresh, amazing produce. So the number four reason why gardening is really important to us is because there are so many teachable moments. You know, it's funny, I was talking with a member, we were talking about gardening and she was sharing her garden story from being little, and she was laughing because she said her sister, when they were younger, never wanted to eat the lettuce out of the garden because she said, "Ooh, it's really dirty." And her mom said, "Well, where do you think the lettuce from the grocery store comes from?" And it was a great teachable moment, because then you're like, "Oh yeah, I get it now." It really just helps our kids to just start to connect and become more aware of the world around them. So gardening is really great. It's great to be able to teach science, but even more than science and math and all of that, it just reinforces some really great things like respect, responsibility, cooperation, the value of work. I mean, just taking something and growing it and having that sense of pride. And so now, you know, we're actually starting to see students who are asking at school if they can have a garden. And I've mentioned that before on a couple of previous podcasts, but we're seeing that a lot. Middle schools and high schools, which are usually the kids who are too cool for school and don't really have an interest in anything like that. When we ask them, 80% of the hands are going up saying, "Heck yeah, we would love to be able to grow a school garden," which is fantastic. And in fact, Kirk and I were just helping some high school students last week to get their garden started. I mean, they hopped on it quickly. They were out, they got the bed ready. I mean, they spent a lot of time after school in their own time getting this bed together because it was so important for them. And they want to learn about it. But beyond just that, there are also so many lessons that we can teach our kids. You know, I mentioned about the students who said, yes, 80% say yes, they would want to garden. How many of them would be likely to try it if they grew it? 80% raised their hand again. So now we're starting to see that this is a great technique that we can use to help with picky eaters and to get kids trying more fruits and vegetables. Because remember, the average kid is only eating about one fruit or vegetable a day. That is it. And I talked about this recently, you know, so we had somebody in our cooking class who had had just one type of vegetable the entire year. So if we can use gardening to get folks trying more fruits and vegetables, what a huge win that is for us as parents. All right, and the fifth reason that we love gardening is, quite honestly, and this is a bit selfishly, but it's so therapeutic. And I love this quote. It says, "Gardening is cheaper than any therapy, and you get tomatoes." How cool is that? It's like the double benefit. And you know, I've been talking again about gardening to a lot of groups, and a lot are using it in a number of ways, but we're starting to see it really used a lot from a mental health perspective, and also using gardening with veterans. And I was just actually talking to a colonel about this a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, how tough it is for the veterans to adjust when they get back home. He said their whole world has changed. But when they can get them involved in gardening, it's really giving them a sense of pride and what a difference that it's having. and also from mental health. There are a lot of studies that are being produced on the effects of gardening and depression or low mood, even bipolar. There was actually a study in Norway where the patients spent 6 hours a week growing flowers and vegetables. That's not much. I mean, we're talking less, you know, an hour roughly a day. And after 3 months, half of the participants had experienced measurable improvements in their depression symptoms. And the really cool thing was that their mood continued to be better 3 months even after the gardening program ended. How cool is that? There just appears to be some sort of an intrinsic relationship between gardening and hope. And that action of planting a seed in the soil and then watching it grow. And as it grows, it just really helps us internally too. So it's an amazing therapeutic value that it has. And I can speak to that over the spring as we're growing as well. And it's something different about growing. I mean, obviously you have flowers and flowers are great and people love them. And there's a lot of benefits that come from a flower garden or having pots of flowers. But man, when you're growing though produce that you can consume, edible produce, that is huge. And so that truly is where a lot of the therapy comes into place. And that's where the real value is. So again, it doesn't take a lot of space. It really just takes a couple containers and a little bit of soil and then you're good to go. So those are our 5 top tips for gardening. And our goal is really simple. We want to help with gardening regardless of the time that you have, the space that you have, or your skill set, because we know that once you start it, you're going to feel all of these emotions too. You're going to see it. You're going to feel really good about it. You're going to have those teachable moments. You're going to see higher quality foods. You're going to taste it. You're going to feel better about that in general. You're also going to be saving money, which is really cool. And there's going to be just that loyalty and tradition that you're really tapping into that's going to give you that sense of pride. And that's what we're looking for. So stay tuned because in just a week, we are going to be starting a new seed challenge to get our entire community planting from seed because it's a little expensive. Yes, it's very easy. We can go out to your, you know, local Home Depot or Lowe's and you can just buy vegetable plants. But why go through that expense when you can grow from seed? So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to walk you through the entire process of starting your vegetables from seed. So more to come on that next week, but it is going to be a blast and we're going to spend the entire month of April going through that process. So enjoy your beautiful spring weekend. We hope you are enjoying this podcast series and we cannot wait to talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.